This is Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie Coleman and your host, Michael Williams. Chief, welcome to the table.
Always glad to be here.
Today we're going to talk about American Burning, the report of the National Commission on Fire Prevention and Control. It came out in 1972, commissioned by President Nixon at the time. This was a pivotal report for the California, not just the California Fire Service, but the fire service nationally, perhaps even internationally. What provoked this report, and what were the outcomes?
Well, America Burning is, I call it a fundamental foundation document. It's kind of one of the major political efforts by a president of the United States to raise attention and to start focusing on America's fire problem. It wasn't the first one, by the way. There was one prior to that that was done by President Truman at the end of World War II. That did a similar type of thing, brought a bunch of people together, and we started talking about, well, what are our problems and what should we be doing? I think the significance of America Burning, which is kind of been obscure to the current generations of the fire service, is really much more important than we give it credit for, because it's what started our National Fire Reporting System, our National Fire Academy, and put into play a lot of the things that resulted in the fire service being what it is today.
Was there an event or a series of events that caused the president to say we have to reevaluate our fire service in America?
Well, America Burning was really generated by a fire chief named Keith Klinger. He was one of the advocates that was very concerned about the fact that there was a lack of federal policy on issues. Chief Klinger was the chief at that time of the Los Angeles County Fire Department, and he got very heavily involved with several of the political figures and got this thing brought to President Nixon's attention. There was no one event per se, but there were just a whole bunch of events. Our fire loss records in the 1970s were abysmal. The number of people dying in fire in single-family dwellings was out of complete control in terms of an industrialized nation. So you might say that America Burning was kind of like the first concentrated effort to try to put some focus at the federal level on fire.
Now, you were already a fire chief by then when this report came out, correct?
I was fire chief in San Clemente when the report was published.
Up to the point that the report had yet to come out, the business was conducted in one way, and then when the report came out over a period of years, business started being conducted a different way. What was the old school methodology, and what was it that kind of was chiseled out and not used?
Well, I would characterize a couple of things before America Burning as being different after America Burning. One of them was this idea that the federal government had a role in fire protection, period. Prior to America Burning, fire problems were considered to be local problems. If you had a big fire in your community, it was the local fire chief's problem. It wasn't the senator never got concerned about it. The president was never concerned about it. America Burning shifted that focus to start looking at the impact on the economy and things of that nature. I'm surprised that the number of current members of the fire service who've never even seen America Burning, they've never read it, they've never looked it up. The reason I say that I'm surprised at that is there's a lot of things we take for granted today that started right here. The National Fire Academy started with this book. Prior to that, there was no National Fire Academy. Our national reporting system started with this book. Prior to that, there was no national reporting system.
So the lack of data, no doubt, was a problem for the committee that was trying to write the report, because they were reaching out to find data, to find information, to gather intelligence so that they could write a report, and quickly discovered, apparently, that there was not sufficient data to be able to write a competent report. Consequently, their recommendations were to start a national data collection, to start a national training facility. But that didn't just happen overnight. That took quite a while before it actually started getting implemented, correct?
Probably about 20 years.
Why the resistance, do you suppose?
I'm not so sure that I would call it resistance as much as I would refer to it as a sense of apathy. What I'm really referring to here is the fact that, and even today, most people think of fire protection as being a local problem. There's a fire station in your neighborhood, there's a fire truck down the street from you, but nobody thinks the federal government is going to show up and fix their fire problem.
No.
And the way I would characterize this is the reason it took a long time was funding had to be established, commitments had to be made, the federal government had to kind of figure out what its role was going to be. There have been significant changes in the United States Fire Administration from day one compared to where it is today. The concept of the AFG grant program didn't exist back in the 1970s. Look where what we've done with that. I think the reason I'm interested in resurrecting this thought process about reading America Burning is to give everybody the sense of how far we've come. Anytime we take for granted where we are today, we need to look at America Burning and realize how far we've come.
Well, do you think this might be part of the conflict that we even see today, where you have the operational mindset that is in some ways not in sync with the administrative mindset and the fire prevention mindset, and that we've got this conflict within our organization because the goals and objectives of those particular components are not necessarily lining up? The end result, of course, is that's saving property, protecting lives and whatever, but the methodology in which we accomplish that, not necessarily taking the same road.
I'd characterize the fire service of today as being better off than it was 30 years ago in terms of part of what you're talking about, but we're not there yet. We still got a long way to go to marry up risk mitigation with risk assessment, with risk mitigation and operations in the field. America Burning was probably the first organization that really kind of started to shape the nature of this discussion.
Well, the report talks about some very fundamental issues that today, at least to today's standards, we talk about all the time, but back in the 70s, this was all new and innovative and forcing people to start addressing things that they otherwise may not have wanted to. The first being there needs to be a more emphasis on fire prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true today. As much as we've done in fire prevention, it's still not the priority.
Well, the great grandson of America Burning, I would say, is Vision 2020. Vision 2020 is probably one of the most remarkable efforts that we've got today on talking about the idea of putting fire prevention down at the lowest possible level, community-based fire prevention, occupancy-based fire prevention. Vision 2020, which is, as I said, is kind of a hallmark of today's level of activity, is also being accelerated by the fact that many communities are now starting to realize that manual fire suppression forces are incredibly hard to sustain fiscally. Mm-hmm. And so people are asking this question, what can we do to reduce our problem?
The next topic is the fire service needs better training and education. And that's where you've led most of your careers in training and education.
Spent a lot of time there, but I certainly feel that there are other people that have done some remarkable work there. I've mentioned this in some of our table talk discussions before, but if you really want to get some insight into where this is all going, listen to Dr. Dennis O'Neill. He has a presentation on professionalism that I think is virtually a required reading by just about anybody who is in the fire service. He talks about the balance between training, education, and experience. Then he puts that all together in terms of what steps should you be taking from the day you enter the fire service to the day you leave the fire service. What steps should you be taking to prepare yourself for your responsibilities? He calls it professionalism. There, a lot of people might say that it's career development or whatever the case may be. But training and education is evolving also. We are starting to see that there's a component of the fire service that's moving on into managerial expertise. I'm talking about public finance, and I'm talking about long-term strategic planning and things of that nature. That's not very fire station-based. It's more professionally based.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, Americans must be educated about fire safety. This had not really been going on. In fact, almost the opposite was going on until the 70s. Then all of a sudden, somebody realized that we need to involve everybody in this. This is a community effort, not just the fire service. How warmly received was that?
I'm not sure any of these ideas have been warmly received at all. I think they've been received with various levels of support and, in some cases, outright resentment. Public education is kind of a soft science. Mm-hmm. How do you know that you've educated the public to be fire prevention oriented? Because you don't have any fires? I'm not sure that's the only way of measuring it. Sometimes it has to do with what happens, what they do when you do have a fire. See, public education has to do with changing human behavior. I would say that since America Burning was published, there have been more efforts, however, to reach down to the stakeholders and try to improve the stakeholders' understanding of their role in fire prevention in the community.
Moving forward, in both design and materials, the environment in which Americans live and work present unnecessary hazards. Now, that's a very broad-based, but I don't think industrial hazards and residential hazards and building codes and fire safety and just a general mindset of safety was all that much of a priority until it was actually quantified as to how many people are getting hurt and killed because of our lack of attention to it.
Well, let's go back to the idea why I think it's a good idea for every person who calls themselves a firefighter to understand America Burning. This is the most fundamental paradigm shift that has resulted in most of the significant changes that have brought us to where we are today. And I'll give you three examples. If you go back to the 1970s and looked at the fire and building codes, they were a shadow of what we have today. Those codes have increased in power and influence by a quantum order of magnitude. Secondly, as you go back and look at the regulatory impact on safety in this country, NIOSH, OSHA, none of those organizations were very influential back in the 1970s. They were incipient federal bureaucracies, but we didn't have a thing called two in and two out in 1972. That came along as a direct result of investigating fires and investigating fire losses, and I call it raising the bar on performance. Then the third component, I'd say, is just look at how much things have changed in the field of training opportunities. You have an individual who can come into the fire service today, go through a recruit academy, spending X number of hours, whatever that happens to be, and become a probationary firefighter with more knowledge than a firefighter previously had accumulated through their entire experience.
The fire protection features of buildings need to also be improved. They've commented on that.
Oh, well, and that's exactly what's been the thrust behind the sprinkler movement. I would say that if you take a look at major industrial and commercial losses in this country, while they still occur, and they are going to continue to occur as long as we have legacy buildings out there, but if you take a look at what they have done to like major shopping centers and things of that nature, everything's sprinklered these days that are significant risk.
Well, we look at the wildland urban interface and the way buildings are constructed in the interface now are a lot different than the log cabins of years ago. Of course, prior to that, people were living in mud huts, so they weren't burning. But
I wasn't sure about the mud huts, but...
But the idea that we were looking at our buildings and saying, what can we do to keep them from burning, was innovative. As weird as that sounds to us today, back in the 70s, that was somewhat cutting-edge thinking.
Well, if you go back and look at the evolution of building codes and fire codes simultaneously, the building code, a significant portion of it, is about fire safety to begin with. It has to do with trying to keep structures stable, especially under fire conditions. The issue here in terms of the future is that there's kind of a point in time when you can't make buildings any more regulated than they are. So then you have to start turning to the human behavioral aspects, and that's where public education kind of comes back in and so forth. As we sit here today, and I've had this conversation with other firefighters, and I say, well, why do I need to read this old book? I mean, it's a history book. Well, it's the same reason why when you become a law student, you go back and understand what the Magna Carta was all about. You need to know the fundamentals. You need to know the foundation documents. I'm not suggesting that America Burning right now is a topic that is so important that you be tested on it. But if I was a fire chief today, I'd want to know that. I'd want to know where we came from. I'd want to know that we don't want to go back there. I'd want to know that there are reasons why we're doing what we do. What's the first question that a young child learns to ask their parents? Why? Well, here's one of the whys.
Well, the why has been very well documented. There's lots of documentation that's out there about the why, and that hits on the final issue, and that's important areas of research are being neglected. Now, back in the 70s, that was pre-computers, at least at a personal level. Research required a little bit of work. There weren't large libraries for fire to go to. That's one of the reasons they wanted the National Fire Academy. But today, with the internet, the ability to research this stuff, and including getting a copy of American Burning, is immediately available on the internet. There's no reason for us to not be reading these things and having a better understanding of why we're doing what we're doing, how we got to where we're going to do, and a good or better idea of what we're going to do in the future, or, as one of our other conversations later I'll talk about, and that's where we're going to be in 20, 30, 40 years. I think you can make some reasonably educated guesses, particularly based on the chief's clipboard, which is 30 years in the past, how much of all of that has come forward based on the same sort of reasoning and research.
When you look at America Burning in terms of research, I think that you have to recognize that the kind of research we were talking about 30 years ago is not the kind of research we're talking about today. I would highlight two people in the fire arena right now, or two organizations especially, without even naming the people, is Underwriters Laboratory and the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They are putting science back into fire science. Because the research in the old days almost all had to do with basically legacy situations, legacy lumber, legacy contents, legacy construction techniques. Today, we're operating in a different environment where we're having to evaluate what new technology is bringing to the table. I would submit right now that one of the biggest differences in firefighting today is not that fire has changed, but building contents certainly have. The way that the fire spreads in a building today is different than it was previously. Now, there are people going to argue with me about that, but all they got to do is read the work that NIST is putting out on ventilation-driven fires and fuel-driven fires, and understanding the fact that this stuff isn't just abstract science. It has an application on the fire ground. So America Burning talked a lot about research. But I think where we are today is that research is becoming more and more part of the decision-making process for incident commanders and for fire chiefs.
What's interesting to me as we come to the close of this is that there's six principles that they came up with during their research on a national level. Not one of them even comes close to dealing with the issue of fire suppression tactics, operational issues. Not any of this.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at other topics we've talked about for promotion and how to better prepare yourself for the future and where are we going as a whole in the fire service, I think this kind of lays the foundation of where we need to be looking. Am I correct?
One of the things that I'm going to say also is that one thing has been missing from a lot of our previous body of knowledge was any understanding of firefighter safety. I think the concept of everybody goes home and the concept of firefighter safety initiatives and all those kinds of things is a new chapter in America Burning. We cannot afford as a society to keep killing people who are doing their jobs. As a matter of fact, I've made this statement before and I'll make it again, and that is that the primary purpose of being a professional in the fire service is being able to go into a dangerous set of circumstances and walk away as a survivor. We're not supposed to be using fire trucks to haul victims to the scene of an emergency. Our job is to be as precise and as well prepared as possible to make sure that when our people go in that building, they come out of it. To me, that's a significant shift from originally the American Burning assumptions. But the framework, I think, is still moving in the direction of what you were talking about earlier.
Well, we're coming up to the end of this episode. Any closing thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, yeah, I remember a scene in the movie Patton where there was a big battle in North Africa, and Rommel had been whipping the Allied forces, and then Patton came in, and there was a big tank battle. And in one of the scenes, he's standing there, and he says, "Rommel, I read your book." Well, that's what I'm suggesting here. Read the book. Make yourself knowledgeable of how we got to be what we are today, and you'll be better prepared to turn us into something else tomorrow.
And that's one of the reasons that we, you and I both, are so fanatical almost on the issue of collecting documents and building libraries. Our table here today has at least a dozen books on it that we're using just to do these programs, all of which should be, I wouldn't say necessarily required reading, but I think anyone of a student of public safety in the fire service is going to want to read all of this to have a better understanding of how they got to where they're at.
At some point.
Sure. I think you'd be amazed how broad-based the fire service really is and how the operational component is just one small cog in a very large wheel. With that, we're at the end of Table Talk. Till next time, let's be safe out there.
This has been Table Talk with Ronald J. Coleman and Michael S. Williams, produced and distributed by the Fire Services Training Institute. Production assistance by Mark A. Ward. Special thanks to Chief Michael Dyer and the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Remember, train like your life depends on it, because it does.
Table Talk programming is intended for personal and organizational use only. Any duplication or commercial use is prohibited.